And 2 Corinthians, if you turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I know Pastor Ed has been sharing about faith. And, you know, if the Bible says that the just shall live by faith, right? So this is how we're to live. This is why it's so important. And, you know, when we talk about faith, it's also important to be specific what you believe in the Lord for. I had a friend, I still have him. He's my friend. He said, you know, he didn't have a lot of hair on the top of his head. So he said, I'm going to believe God for more hair. He said, now, I wasn't very specific, but it was coming out of my nose and my ears and everywhere else. He said, I had to stop believing for that. And I had to, you know, go a different direction. But here, verse 13 says it like this. It says, we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. So you notice here, it's the spirit of faith that we have, that because you believe, you speak, right? You speak. So we believe, therefore we say what we believe. That's why we're speaking something, even though we don't necessarily see it, we say it by faith. And it was interesting, my wife told me, you know, sometimes wives can have really interesting points. I don't know, but my wife, sometimes she surprises me. I'm like, that's pretty good, hon. She's probably actually a better preacher than me, too. But she said, you know, your address, your voice is your address in the spirit realm. And I was thinking about that. I was like, that's pretty good. That means if I want to receive something, I have to vocalize it so I can be identified as this is where I live in the spirit realm so it can come to me. So having the same spirit of faith as it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Now, notice belief is tied to what you're speaking, right? And 1 Peter, if we would turn there, 1 Peter says it this way, 1 Peter chapter 1. I like this scripture because it helps me identify where my faith is. You know, sometimes people tell you you need this, you need that, but don't tell you how to get it. That doesn't help me. Like, you need money. Yeah, okay, but then how do I get it? Well, I don't know. I just know you need it. Well, okay, but that's great. But 1 Peter says it this way. This helps us along with our faith journey. It says, verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. It says, whom having not seen him, that is the Lord, you haven't seen him, yet you love him. Though you don't see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So the Passion Translation says it this way. You love him passionately, although you do not see him, but through believing in him, you are saturated with joy, indescribable and immersed in glory. You are reaping the harvest of your faith, the full salvation promised you, your soul's victory. So in looking at this verse, what stood out to me, because we say that faith believes, and therefore it says, or it speaks, right? Here it says it this way, because you haven't seen him yet you love him, and it says, believing you rejoice. Now this is really key, because if you just stop right there, believing, because you're believing, which is present tense, you rejoice. Kind of like you rehearse, you repeat, you do it again. You do rejoice again. You get joy again. But he says, believing, you rejoice. In other words, so believers, because they're in faith, are what? Are rejoicers. I remember there was a time I told my daughter, I said, hey, she was about 7 years old, so we're going to go to Disneyland. Well, she believed, so what do you think she did? She rejoiced. She didn't ask me, do you sure you got the money? Because I didn't have it yet, but I'm glad she didn't ask, because I'm believing too, right? But believing, you rejoice. That means you rejoice before you see it. Because faith, I believe, therefore I have, I what? I spoke. So here he's saying this way. You haven't seen him, but you believe in him, so you love him. And even though you don't see him, you still love him. Referring to Christ. But then anything that you believe in the Lord for, you should be rejoicing over. Because believing, a believer is a rejoicer. So let me ask you this tough question. I have to ask myself these tough questions too. What happens if I'm not rejoicing? You're not only not going to receive, but you're not in the believing mode. Because believing, you rejoice. Unbelieving, you don't rejoice. Right? If I'm not believing, if the Bible says believing, you rejoice. Why? Because you're expecting like it's going to be okay. Like, it doesn't matter what the report said, because I'm believing in God, my source, I'm rejoicing. But if I'm not rejoicing, that's an indicator that I'm not in the believing mode. Or in other words, I don't have enough spiritual fuel to get or to obtain the promise. One time, you know, my wife, she tells me, hey, don't, when the car is half empty on the gas, put gas in it. I'm like, well, I don't drive it all the time, honey. Sometimes I drive in it. She goes, but when it gets half to her is like empty. So I'm like, okay. So one time she's out running, and I let it get a little low, and it went down faster than I thought. So it's church day, Sunday. I get in the car, and we have a really slight driveway. You know, it's like a steep slope. It's slight. I knew it was on empty. So I'm thinking, I got enough. I can go zip over early Sunday morning, get the gas, but my car, in this case, the car didn't start. And I'm sitting there like, this is not good. I don't have enough gas. There's some in there, but it's not enough to get the car started, to get us to where we need to go. So what I did, I was praying, Lord, I need some help. I pray for help so I don't have to pray for healing. You know what I mean? So I said, Lord, I need some help here. And I'm thinking, I'm just sitting there a moment, and I think, why don't I just put it in neutral and roll back so the car is level. And then maybe, I'm not for sure, but maybe it'll start. So I did that. It started. Well, now, you know, I'm not stopping. I got it started. I am driving it to the gas station. I didn't have any stoplights. I did roll through stop signs, I'll be honest. But I couldn't be stranded because my fuel level was low, right? And I knew it was low. I had that light come on telling me, hey, fuel level is low. But I can fill it up later. Well, as a believer, how do you know your faith level is low? Is if your rejoicing is low or non-existent, right? That's the indicator you're not going to have enough spiritual fuel to get to your destination. The good news is, as he says here, believing you rejoice, means that's up to you. You can start to fill your tank by rejoicing. Amen? So we see Romans 15:13 says it like this, that the God of hope shall fill you with all joy and peace in the believing, for you're abounding in the hope and power of the Holy Spirit. So he's going to fill you with joy and peace in your believing. That's what he says, in your believing. So if I'm, this is just me, I'm pretty simple. If I'm not experiencing joy or peace, then I'm not in the believing mode like I should be. Plus, all joy and peace, and or in our believing. Well, if I'm not experiencing that, then my believing isn't where it should be. Because if it was, I'd have joy and peace, right? If I was really believing. Amen? So Acts 16, verse 34 says it like this. Now, you know this story. The Paul and Silas preaching the gospel, they're out there, and all kinds of wonderful things are happening, and then the city gets mad because, you know, one lady gets... Did we lose me? Are we okay? Just tell me, man. Okay, I think it's all the way. Good? All right. So in believing, Paul and Silas were preaching the gospel. And what happened? Let me say, sometimes we have audio in my church, and it's because of my electric personality. I kind of short-circuit things, you know what I'm saying? So they're preaching the gospel. They get arrested, and you see they end up in prison. And in prison, I mean, this was a bad prison. They didn't have AC and all that kind of stuff, cable TV, nothing like that. So they're in prison, and when they're bound up in chains and they were beaten, it says that they were still what? Praising God. At midnight, they were singing and praising the Lord. So even in your midnight hour, what should we be doing? Singing and praising the Lord. Why? It's a reflection of what we believe. It's a sign to the enemy like, hey, God's going to get me out. Even if I don't care, I'm going to praise the Lord. Right? So we see that they were praising the Lord. And what happened? There was the whole prison, it was like an earthquake that shook the whole, all the prison doors came open. Everyone's chains fell off. And then the guard who was guarding them, what did he think? He thought, you know what? Everybody's escaped. I'm a dead man. They're going to kill me. And then Paul says, you deserve it. No, he didn't say that. He said, don't hurt yourself. I mean, if there's one word for anybody today, whether you're here or online, is don't hurt yourself. You know, people hurting themselves, and they don't have hope. They don't have peace. They think there's no way out of this. Yet the Bible says, right, really clear, don't hurt yourself. Because tomorrow you're not going to feel the same way. Right? So here, it said that the verse 34 says the jailer had come or brought them into his house. He set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. So we see that the jailer who was over that jail went and fed them, cleaned them up, right? Brought them to his house, and he said he was filled with joy because he believed. Not because he didn't believe, but because he believed. And this is evident here that believers should be rejoicers. They should be full of joy, giving thanks. Amen. Philippians 4, and you know this, verse 4 to 7 says it this way. Rejoice in the Lord always. I mean, that's just right there. Rejoice. Redo it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. He said, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, with your prayer, your petition, with thanksgiving, right? Let your request be made known to God. And when you do that, right, what happens? Verse 7, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know it's hard to be worrying if you're rejoicing? You can't be full of joy and experience anxiety at the same time. So here he's telling you, he's telling us, if you will do this, submit you what you need, write it out, ask God for it, give thanks, keep rejoicing, and you'll experience God's peace. So for me, I don't know about you, but for me, if I'm not experiencing his peace like I want to, what's the first thing I should look at? Am I been rejoicing like I should be? If I haven't, I need to get busy. if my spiritual feel like on and saying you're on E, that doesn't mean extra. That means empty, right? If that pops on, then I have to get busy. It's time for me. I got to start rejoicing, right? And it's like, well, someone said, but you don't understand my situation. Yeah, well, you don't understand how your situation can change if you start rejoicing and giving thanks. I'm not thanking God for the bad thing. I'm thanking God that despite that bad thing, he's going to move my life. Amen? This is key because, as you've seen, I know as Pastor Ed's taught you, verse 9 says, verse 8 in 1 Peter talks about rejoicing, believing, rejoicing, and then talks about receiving. So I would say it this way. You got believing, and in the middle of what's in between, you're believing and you're receiving. The missing link is you're rejoicing. Your rejoicing connects you, what you've been believing for, to what you're going to receive, right? You know, that's why he tells you, rejoice in the Lord, not in yourself, not in what you have or what you can do, but you want to be rejoicing in him, right? Rejoice in the Lord. You know, when he says, be strong in the Lord, why? And in the power of his might, that's not your might. That means you're supposed to be strong in him. Receive his strength, not your strength. Not what you can do, but look at what he can do, what he wants to do. So I say it this way. You know, I have a daughter in college. And so we, I don't know about you, but I mean, I won't be an empty nester for a long time. I just have to face that fact. Because I have some in elementary school still, right? I'm not even thinking empty nest anymore. So what I tell her is when she was, I would always encourage her, you know, when they were really young. And then you kind of keep encouraging. But at a certain age, now it's like, okay, I encourage you, but now I also got to warn you. Now I got to be more direct with you. Now I got to tell you, this is how it is. You got to learn real fast. Right? So when she's got a whole schedule and she's worrying, I said, you spend too much time worrying, not enough time rejoicing. You're talking to me about all the things you got to do on your to-do list. You realize you could have done two or three of those things already. Right? I got to do this and I got to do this. I'm like, you could already have this done. Just start with one thing, dear. I tell you, just start with one thing. And when you get that one thing done, you can cross that off. Don't focus on 10 things. Just start with one. So when you're concerned, first thing he tells you, rejoice in the Lord. Just keep rejoicing. You know, you got an issue or a problem, a challenge. You are supposed to, what? I'm supposed to rejoice. And keep thinking. When the devil tells you you're not going to make it, you what? Rejoice. Because you know he's a liar. So I figured this out. If he told me something wasn't going to happen, that means if I just stay on the path I am, it's going to happen. Because if it wasn't going to happen, he wouldn't tell me, have to mess with me over it, right? He wouldn't have to distract me or try to get me detoured. So I understand that our rejoicing is connected to our receiving. And the more we rejoice, even over what we have, faith rejoices, right? It gives thanks. It's glad. When it does that, it makes you stronger spiritually to receive what God has for you. See, you know, we got to be thankful for where we are and what we have. This is key. This is like, you know, I don't know if any people like to lift weights, exercise, whatever, but I can't look at, well, maybe I'm an exception. Maybe other people. I said, I can't look at what I used to lift. Oh, yeah, I can, because I'm awesome, right? I can lift a lot. But, you know, sometimes in our mind, we think we're stronger than what we really are. We think we're where we used to be, even though we've never exercised. You ever done that? You know, like, I'm going to go do 100 push-ups. I could do that much. And you start out, and you go, what's wrong? Can't do it. You're not where you, and you don't realize you're not as maybe as strong as you think you are. So what do you have to do? You don't get sad. You just got to start exercising. And eventually you get to where you're setting your goal for. Well, we may want to receive more from the Lord. But to receive more from him, we have to rejoice over what he's already done. To be thankful for what he's given us, because in that way we're kind of like exercising our thanksgiving muscles. It makes us stronger in our ability to give thanks, which qualifies us to receive more to be thankful for. Amen? You know, it's like someone goes, I want to be blessed. Okay, well, be a blessing. Amen? And then he can pile more of those blessing weights on your bar so you could give thanks for that. Amen? Just like the jailer, he was giving thanks. He was rejoicing. He started giving right away. Hey, Paul says, I'm going to wash your back. I'm going to feed you. I want you to come to my house. I'm going to take care of you. Amen? He was generous. Colossians 1, verse 11, says it this way, that we might be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Notice that one of the keys to being strengthened with might is the ability to demonstrate and be active in rejoicing or expressing joy. So he says, I want you to be strong, strengthened with all might. But how do we get there? It's with joy. Nobody, you know how everybody wants to go to the prosperity conference? Nobody goes to the suffering conferences. Right? I mean, how many persecution conferences sold out? Probably not any of them. They don't even have them, right? But if you talk about prospering or being strong, people want to go there. But here the scripture says, hey, one of the keys to you being strengthened with all might is you're experiencing joy. Rejoicing in the Lord. And see, nobody had to charge you $29.95 to get in that conference. You got it for free. Amen? Psalms 81 says it this way, 81 verse 1. It says, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Make a joyful noise. That does, you know what those noises sound like compared to the, oh, man. That's not the joyful noise. No, you got to rejoice. This is the Psalms 21, David says, the king shall joy in your strength, O God, in your salvation, how greatly we rejoice. If you want things to change, don't look outward, look inward. He says, start rejoicing. I always thought it was interesting. Remember when, I think it was in Chronicles, where they were going to have a battle, and they put all the praise and worship team out on the front, and they went out singing, you know, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever, right? I'm thinking, you know, if I'm a praise and worship, not like, you know, today, praise and worship, different. They're like, don't send me, I'm in the back. I don't want to be out on the front line. That's where you get shot, right? I already know that. But they were out there singing, praise the Lord. I mean, you know, they were being joyful, praising the Lord. Even though they had enemies, they were on the front line. And, you know, the soldiers are glad, like, at least we can see what's coming, right? But the praise and worshipers were rejoicing and giving thanks and being glad on the front line, facing the enemy. When we're facing an enemy in our life, we should be just like them, rejoicing, giving thanks, and being glad. Because our confidence, our hope is in God. Amen. And, you know, sometimes it's easy to rejoice in church, right? But when you're stuck in traffic or you get all those drivers who haven't drove for a while, You ain't thinking, oh, bless them, Lord. Increase them. No, you're thinking, Lord, get them. You know, judgment fall, whatever. That's Nehemiah says it this way, and you know this one, Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I mean, now you think about it. Now, his joy is your strength, not your joy. Because that doesn't last very long, right? You ever been, like, super excited, happy after church, and you get in, you know, you go to just to the parking lot, and you had, like, maybe a flat tire, or you bought a new car, and somebody dinged your door, and just say, forgive me, brother, with a note sticky, and you're like, forgive you? You should pay for this. And then, or there's strife, you get in strife or an argument, whatever, right? What happens to your joy level? It is gone. And do you feel strong at that moment? Absolutely not. Okay, since my wife's not here, I know she probably won't watch, and you don't know her, so you'll probably never conclude. She's like this, you know, I mean, she's a great blessing. She's like, I'll cast out these devils, I'll lay hands on sick, I'll do all this stuff. But she don't like bugs. And I, you know, so if she sees a bug or something, she'll wake me up in the middle of the morning, you know, night. Oh, you got to come kill this bug. And I'm like, it's just a little spider. She says, you got to get it. I don't like them. I'm like, you know, I'm thinking, I'm not rejoicing at this time. You understand? I'm just like, well, I'm like, how can you cast out devils and do all this stuff and speak in tongues? And you can't take out a spider. Honey, I don't understand this. Oh, that's why you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I understand. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. Our joy is in Him. This is how we get strong. The joy of His joy is our strength. It's not about what we can do. It's about what He can do, right? It's about how joyful we can try to maintain something in ourselves. It's about being joyful in His strength, right? His joy is our strength. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says it like this. You followed our way of life and the life of the Lord. You suffered from others because of listening to us. But you had the joy that came from the Holy Spirit. You know, it's interesting here that there's things as a church, as a believers, we're going to suffer. But all that suffering is only external items, meaning, you know, you lose something, they take something, something's lost. But if your joy isn't in those things and it's in the Lord, no one can take Him from you, right? If He lives in you, no one can pluck you out of His hand. No one can steal your joy if it's in the Lord, which is in you, right? You know, in the world, you'll have tribulation and things will happen. But here, he says, you followed our way of life and the life of the Lord. You suffered from others because of listening to us. Have you ever blamed someone for, I listened to you and this is what happened? Well, but you're still here. You didn't die. You made it, right? So here he's saying, but you have the joy that came from the Holy Spirit, which would tell me this is the important thing, His joy. Keeping His joy. Why? Because that's your strength. That's your joy is connected to your receiving. So it doesn't matter how long you have to wait for something, because in the end, you'll receive it. You're supposed to be believing, rejoicing, and then what? Receiving. This is why we say faith rejoices, because if we're going to receive, we got to rejoice. Amen? James says it like this, and you know this. My brothers and sisters, you count it all joy when you fall into different tests or trials or tribulations. Count it all joy. You're just like, this is an opportunity to be joyful. Amen? Why? Because you know this. Verse 3 says, knowing this. Now, if you don't know this, then it's not a good thing. But if you know this, that this is what you're supposed to know, that the trial of faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect or complete work, that you may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. You realize, you know, as long as you maintain your joy, and I've noticed this too, life is so much better. I mean, it's just, you're not bothered by anything. You sleep better at night. You're not worried. People say this about you, do this about you. And, you know, you realize your joy or happiness shouldn't be based upon what somebody else is thinking, because you can't control that. Amen? Here he says, count it all joy when you fall into different tests, trials, or tribulations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Why? Because at some period, it's going to take some time, but you're going to receive the promise or the thing that you've been believing for. So even though you don't see it immediately, you're supposed to what? Count it all joy. Keep rejoicing. Keep being glad. Stay in the believing mode, right? Don't give up. How do you know if you're believing or if you're in faith? Is if you're rejoicing, if you're giving joy, if you have the joy of the Lord, if you're giving thanks, right? This is key. Hebrews 10 says it this way, verse 34. I like this verse. It says, you sympathize with those in prison. Are you ready? This is the part you may not rejoice over. And when all your belongings, all of them, you accepted that violation with joy. Now, this is huge. You know how somebody rips you off and you feel like, no, you ain't ripping me off. You're going to pay me back, right? That was mama's, or that was uncle's, that was grandma's. You can't have that. But it says this, you accepted it with joy. Why? Because you were convinced that you possess a treasure growing in heaven that could never be taken from you. So you're convinced that all your stuff down here can be transferred over there, that you're not losing anything when you give it up for the sake of the gospel. It's just being transferred. It says, you have a treasure that's growing in heaven, a growing treasure. I mean, hey, treasure is one thing. Another one is better when it's growing. And you have it in heaven, so you can't lose it. Amen? So even if somebody took it from you because you were a believer in Christ, it shouldn't bother you. I mean, you're not going to feel good about it, but you got to remember, you know that you're convinced that you possess a treasure that's growing in heaven. Amen? So I look at this scripture as, how do we get there? How do we get when faith rejoices? As a matter of receiving, I have an example in Romans 4, verses 19 and 20. It says it like this. Abraham, not having been weak in faith. So, again, I learned this from Dr. Fred Price. He said, when he looked at the Bible, he looks at the opposite of what the Bible says. So, in this case, it says, not being weak in faith, which means I could be weak in faith, right? If he says, don't be weak in faith, but I wasn't weak, which means I could be. But it says, how was he not weak, right? What made him strong? Why wasn't he weak? You understand, right? And here's why. He didn't consider his own body that already was dead, about 100 years old. He didn't consider what was Sarah's womb, that Sarah never had a baby. You know, something you've been trying to have babies all your life, and you can't have one. Now you're 190. It's like, get ready. Get the crib ready, right? Well, he didn't consider those things, and it says he didn't stagger in unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory or praise to God. So he was praising God for God's word, for the promise. And as he was praising, what happened? It said he was being strengthened in faith, strengthened, and we know what eventually happened. He received, because he was praising and rejoicing and giving thanks to God for what God had said. Amen? So we see this principle of believers, those in faith, they rejoice. As they rejoice and they keep thanking God for what he says, they get to a place to where they receive. Amen? Not just, they're not stuck in the believing aspect and in no man's land, and then over here, the receiving aspect, they actually cross over. They actually say, what's the missing link? What's the gap? It's the rejoicing. Amen? So how much rejoicing are we doing on a daily basis? Can we measure it? You know, was it 2 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always. Always. Compare that to, you know, that's a pretty short verse. Rejoice always. Always, in every way, as many ways as you can think of. So Philippians 3:1 says it like this. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Means keep filling up your joy in the Lord. Just be joyful to where it's overflowing. You know, we live in a world that there's not a lot of people rejoicing today. They ain't got nothing. People aren't smiling, laughing about anything. You know, you go for a walk and say, I'm not pro-mask or anti-mask or whatever. But it's just kind of weird when people will turn their face and put it in a bush or something. You're like, what are you doing? I'm not even 6 feet. I'm like 16 feet from you. I don't know what you're doing. Do I look bad? What is going on here, right? But it says, rejoice. Why? He says, to me, it's interesting because he says, rejoice in the Lord. I write these same things to you. He goes, to me, it's not grievous or hard, but for you it is safe. Now this is huge because he's talking about you rejoicing as being safe. It's like, how do you know you're going to get what you're believing for? He said, you don't have to change anything. I don't have to make it up. I don't have to write to you something else. I'm keeping it safe for you. There's no special conference you have to go to. You just keep rejoicing and being glad in the Lord. He's your strength. And when you receive enough strength, you're going to receive from him the thing you've been desiring, right? You ever notice how fast kids can grow and how much they eat? I mean, I was like, thank God, you know, someone says, I have three daughters. And, you know, first kid, it was like 10 years apart. So I had one, and then I have a 20-year-old, and an 11, and a 10-year-old. So don't ask me what happened. Don't ask me about the gap. So, but it's interesting because I literally, you know, your kids, they grow fast, and if people haven't seen them, they're like, what happened? I'm like, I don't know. They just keep consuming. And then it goes somewhere, and they grow. And I was thinking about this. Because as we keep receiving God's word and giving thanks, right, then we'll grow to a place where we can keep giving thanks for more. And the Lord will keep increasing us. We don't have to increase ourselves. As we rejoice and we're glad, we can just, he'll increase us and give us more to be thankful for. Amen? So, how many more minutes do I have? I don't know. I know Pastor Ed might go a long time. Keep going. I just ask because, you know, at 1 o'clock, I might take a... just kidding. Someone said, Cowboys, football, man, football. But I just would encourage us to understand that as we believe the Lord, the more we rejoice, the stronger we'll become, the more we'll be able to receive. Amen? And so it's like faith gives thanks, it rejoices, and it's glad. First Peter again says it this way, believing, you rejoice. That to me just stands out. Because if I'm really believing something, then I'm going to be rejoicing over that thing. You can rejoice. In the word you could look at rejoy. Repeat your joy. Repeat it. Rejoice in it. Keep rejoicing. Because it's the key to receiving from God. You know, and I know, you know, that if people don't feel well, it's hard for them to be joyful. Like, you ever go to a hospital and there's sick patients? They're not rejoicing. They don't feel like it. They're just sick or they got problems. And if you try to encourage them, you say, hey, look, you know, we got to give thanks to the Lord. He'll give us strength. This is how you get out of there. This is how you get out of that situation or that circumstance. You have to rejoice, and it says, by believing. Why? If you know God's for you, then you need to rejoice. You need to be glad. Amen? Not just here at church, but especially at home or in your car. Or if you got a really bad report and you start crying, it's okay. That doesn't mean that's what you believe. You have to maybe fight through those tears. Right? That emotional response doesn't mean what you believe, because faith is of what? The heart. I mean, I've been there. I mean, sometimes I got some really bad news. I'm driving down the car, and like this, you know, driving down in my car on the highway and get a flood of emotions. And then I'm like, oh, why am I? Okay, I am kind of sad. You know, if I ask myself. But then the devil comes in. He says, see, you're not in faith. You're not going to receive. You're not. Hey, just because I have emotions is not what I'm believing. And in with nobody around, I can rejoice and be glad. It's not about a show. I'm not trying to give a show. Right? It's not a performance. So I just want to really encourage you is I understand that faith rejoices. If we have that same spirit of faith, I believe, therefore I'm saying this. Then if I believe that what I'm saying is true, and God's coming through for me, and I'm not going under, but I'm going over, see, I don't have to even figure it out. I remember one time I was in a, you know, you realize you're in a really bad place. Anybody ever do like, okay, I know I really missed it somewhere. But I just repent. Okay, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. And now I receive my forgiveness. And now I'm going to rejoice. By faith, I'm going to say, I'm coming up out of this. I don't have to figure out how I'm coming up, but I know I am because I'm believing you. And I just start thanking you for bringing me up and bringing me out. It's easy, right? It's really easy. You just got to do it. And it doesn't matter how you feel. So I just really want to encourage you. Understand that believing leads to rejoicing. Rejoicing leads to receiving. If we're in faith over something, it'll be demonstrated and exhibited by our rejoicing, our giving of thanks, our joy level. Amen? And just like when your gas tank says you're on E, your joy level is telling you're on E, you got no peace, you're kind of fretting, a little bit anxious, that's the indicator that you need to take some time to start rejoicing. Start letting the enemy know, hey, this is not over. God's on my side. You know, if the greater one's in me, see, here's a revelation, then the lesser one is in the world. Everything that I see, feel, touch is lesser than what the greater one is in me. Amen? And as we keep our eyes on the source, the Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We'll be empowered. We'll be. I won't use the word strengthened, but we will receive strength to do and accomplish what He called us to. Amen? Amen. Okay, that's the end of the message. But that wouldn't be fair if I didn't take up an offering. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8 says it.